Here at Follow Networks. Remember, you can check out all of our Follow Networks pods at www.followthe.tv or go to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/follownetworks. Jeff, man, how you doing, bud?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you?
I'm living the dream, sir. Fighting off a cold.
So, all right, I'll scoot back then. Scoot my chair back a little bit.
I'm a little scratchy right now. No, it's a beautiful January cold-ass day. We got a fire going behind us. And let's talk some geek shit.
All right, let's do it.
So this is the first episode without Dustin.
Oh, really? Is it?
Yeah. I haven't been recording. I haven't known what to do with myself.
Oh yeah. Wow. How about that? I had noticed that actually. I had noticed that some of the
weeks off.
Yep, it was Battlestar and stuff like that.
Yeah, we were still doing Battlestar Brothel with Dustin. He's still on that. And then doing the Marvel or the Rancor's Agents of Brothel with Aaron Flowers from the Heel Angle podcast.
Okay.
So, but I haven't done one of these yet.
Wow, I feel honored. I can't believe I'm going to be the first guest host.
Yeah, which is pretty funny because my wife, Natalie Etter of Music to Your Ears, booked Jeff to come over and be on her show, and she's like, and then you can go ahead and be on the Brothel and you guys can talk about something. And then she just told me that last night. I was like, oh, okay.
Sometimes that's what it takes, is just somebody to push you out into the water and let you swim.
So thanks, Natalie. Let's see. I guess we're going to do some things differently. I don't want to do Discount X-Men. That was always Dustin's thing. So we're going to wipe that one off for now. And maybe we'll bring it back later in the future. I don't know. I don't want to do Star Wars Minute, really, unless you have a Star Wars question. I'm more than happy to help you.
I don't really have a Star Wars question. I mean, I guess we could talk about that we've talked about before on this podcast is, the new J.J. Abrams production's coming up and how excited we are, but that kind of gets old. Talk about how excited we are for it.
Yay! Well, like, do you think they're going to push it back because paying attention to the Superman versus Batman, they pushed back to May of 2016, and I feel like they had their shit together more for that. Because they've had casting, they've had writing, they've had all the set design, they have the costume set up. I feel like that one had its stuff put together more. Yeah, they're pushing it back a year. Star Wars, I feel like we're not getting anything concrete from anybody.
Yeah, which could be a huge payoff. I mean, this is frankly a J.J. Abrams thing.
Yeah.
And whenever he, we'll talk a little bit more about him later, of course. But whenever he does a project, he and Bad Robot Productions really keeps a tight lid on things. Even whenever he's done some other projects, there's been a lot of secretive stuff, and you really don't get to find out until it's happening what's going on. And so that really doesn't surprise me. But at the same time, I wouldn't be shocked if they pushed it back some more, because it is going to be a huge production to pull off the next couple Star Wars movies. So,
do you think that had an effect on Superman versus Batman? I think they were like, no, we want to rule the summer that we pick.
Yeah, I think so. I think that they paced it out to where there would be no conflict with Star Wars. They wouldn't compete at the box office. I also think as well that they just wanted to have that extra time to really make it extra awesome, to make it that much better. I know that was a ridiculous way to put it. For lack of a better phrase, extra awesome. I think that's what they wanted to do, was to make sure that it was going to be a real kick-ass movie, and two, there would be no competition in the box office, but that'll probably change.
Well, we'll see. We'll see. Only time will tell. Speaking of some movie news, I want to talk about a geek movie with you.
All right.
You and I were just watching Your Highness.
Yeah.
By Danny McBride. And this is something I want to do every week. I want to highlight a different geek movie. Maybe you've not seen it. Maybe you have. I don't know. So let's just talk about it real quick. What's been your experience with Your Highness?
Well, I love the movie, and this is ultimate sort of fan fiction Danny McBride being, of course, the star of Eastbound and Down on HBO. But he wrote this movie. And so he was really into science fiction and fantasy things. And so he wrote this ridiculous, hilarious movie.
As he put it, in his own words, one of his favorite things to do in high school was get together with his buddies, watch a stupid fantasy movie, and smoke a bunch of pot.
Yeah.
And so he was like, let's combine these two things and, you know, introduce it to the new era.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was, it's great for those that, I don't think that any fans of Eastbound and Down would have ever picked up this movie unless Danny McBride was in it.
Mm-hmm.
And same thing with Franco. And I feel like, you know, and Natalie Portman as well. But then you also got the nerds that wouldn't pick up something that's a Danny McBride or James Franco movie. Maybe Natalie Portman, since she was in Star Wars. But probably wouldn't have picked up this movie with just James Franco and Danny McBride in it.
Yeah.
And so it was a nice crossover, and I think that they pulled in a lot of maybe not necessarily new fans, but definitely pulled in some people that they wouldn't have otherwise.
And Danny McBride bringing Justin Theroux into the mix for the bad guy, Lazar.
Yeah.
Don't know if all of you know this. Justin Theroux, who's, I think, a great actor, a fun actor. He also wrote Tropic Thunder.
Yeah.
So he has a pretty good vein for comedy. That being one of the funniest movies I've ever seen, Tropic Thunder. Hilarious flick. It was a $50 million budget and only did $24 million in the theaters, almost $25, which is just ridiculous because this movie is hilarious.
Well, I know a ton of people. I really put this in the same category as sort of the Big Lebowski and Fight Club.
Yeah.
No one really went to see those in theaters.
I went to see both of those in the theaters.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you're the only person I've ever met that said that, but everyone I know has a copy, like in Office Space as well. I have two copies of Office Space. I just recently gave one away, so I guess I just lied. I only really have one now, but for the longest time I had two copies of Office Space. And so, you know, Your Highness, I mean, I've got Fight Club, copies of Fight Club, and Big Lebowski as well, but Your Highness is another one that I didn't see in theaters. I didn't see it until it came out, and I was really pissed at myself for not going to see it in theaters, because I'm sure I would have laughed my balls off.
I needed to watch it a second time. First time I watched it, I rented it, watched it late at night, didn't really get it, and then I watched it again, and oh my god. Like, the second time around, it made someone, like Super Troopers. Nobody loves Super Troopers the first time they saw it. Everybody loves it the second time.
I absolutely love Super Troopers the very first moment I saw it.
Good
but
for
yeah,
you.
I like the Broken Lizard stuff. Anyway, I had seen Club Dread before that and was really into Club Dread, even though that was... Well, it will go down... I don't know, I think it was before Super Troopers. It wasn't?
No.
I saw it before Super Troopers anyway, and I think that it will go down as probably the least successful Broken Lizard production movie that there is, Club Dread, but I liked it.
I think the Slammin' Salmon beat that.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yeah.
I don't know. Well,
I don't own a copy of that, though. That's why I forgot about it.
I love Brittany Daniel in Club Dread.
Yeah.
She's so fucking hot. Oh, my God. She was my Spank Bank girl for, like, 2 years after the movie came out. And, like, you ever watch, Oh, It's Always Sunny?
Oh, yeah.
And she was in that as a transsexual.
Yeah, there's a dick in those pants.
Yeah, it didn't bother me at all. Did not bother me at all.
Yeah, absolutely.
Kept masturbating.
She was in Joe Dirt, too, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
She was in Joe Dirt Day. All right, so that'll be our little geek movie news there. So, good job. Thank you for helping me introduce a new segment.
Awesome. We're going to do Versus next?
Let's do the Versus next. The Versus was always my baby, and I love it, and I want to keep that around. So let's jump into it. This week, we, on a whim, chose our characters, and pretty fun. It's going to be the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles versus the A-Team. And where are they fighting at, Jeff?
I don't think we ever determined where they were going.
Oh, we did. It was at the Muppet Theater.
Oh, yeah, the Muppet Theater. Oh, yeah.
So, I guess, I mean, the... I don't even know how this works. So, Shredder hires the A-Team. Unbeknownst to the A-Team, they're going after heroes. The same week that the Ninja Turtles are going to be on the Muppet Show. They're the guest hosts.
Okay.
You know. Let's match them up first. Okay, who's Hannibal for the Turtles? Who's the leader?
Leonardo leads.
Leonardo leads. Donatello does machines.
That's exactly what I was thinking, yeah.
So then, okay, Michelangelo, I would have to say, would be Murdoch.
Okay.
Because he's the goofy one.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Murdoch was always, like, kind of slightly insane. Wow. Then B.A. Baracus, that's going to be Raphael, completely.
Yeah, the tough one, yeah. The.
And then Face. Face was always the good-looking one who could get the chicks, but he was... Am I correct in my assumption that he was like a munitions guy?
I think so.
Ooh.
Pull up some notes here. I'm a little rusty on my A-team facts.
You picked the A-team. How are you the rusty one?
It just came to me. The A-team just seemed appropriate whenever you chose Ninja Turtles.
Okay, so we just took a little break there, and we looked up Face, or Face Man, if you will. And it says he's a smooth-talking con man who serves as the team's appropriator of vehicles and other useful items, which I would put Donatello at. He just does it through, you know, science.
Sure, absolutely. He makes them instead of appropriating them.
Absolutely. Have you watched the new Ninja Turtle series at all?
No, I haven't.
I cannot harp on it enough. It's a great fucking show. Check it out. They really made it for the modern era. Like, their little turtle communicators, they're called T-phones. So they could play apps and shit, too.
Ah, sweet.
Yeah, you know, they just really made it modern era. I love it. Okay. So, I guess, first of all, B.A.'s van busts in through the backstage door. They all jump out with AK-47s.
Okay.
That they never shoot people with. So everybody's safe, which is nice.
So they break in through the back door, all hell breaks loose because there was, were they in dress rehearsal or actual performance?
Oh, God.
Actual performance. So the crowd just disperses,
a mad stampede, Statler and Waldorf are trampled.
I was going to say, no, they're up, I want them up in the balcony commentating on this fight.
Heckling B.A.?
Yeah,
I pity the fool make fun of B.A.
I want them commentating on the fight as it happens. As the A-Team and Ninja Turtles clash, I want Statler and Waldorf up in the balcony commentating on the whole thing.
Did you just have to look them up?
Yep, had to look them up.
My God. Oh,
I know.
Breaking my heart. Okay, that's fine. We can have that. Let's have the guys face off with their counterpart.
Okay.
Just to make things a little easier, make the conversation smooth. Leonardo versus Hannibal. Hannibal's an older fella.
Yes, he is.
He is, you know, a Delta Force trained, so he does have the moves, but he also smokes a cigar, like, every episode. He's, like, just chugging on cigars, so he can't be cardiovascularly the most healthy person.
Right, yeah, and he's got the ascot, which would be some sort of a strangulation liability.
Oh, yeah, so. He'd be total garrot with that.
Right.
Yeah, think of that.
So I'm thinking Leonardo's going to come up from behind and choke him out, try to choke him out with this ascot around his throat.
But Hannibal is a planner, and so he's not going to wear an ascot if he doesn't already know how to get out of that move.
Yeah, I mean, he's also going to anticipate Leonardo coming up behind
him. So he's probably going to.
He anticipates everything.
If I had somebody coming up with a garrote, I would probably try to elbow in the ribs, but he's got a turtle shell.
I'm saying left,
not gonna work,
left elbow to the ribs, right grab the head and flip him over his shoulder.
Okay. Now, that might be possible because the Ninja Turtles are about 4 feet tall.
That would be pretty much impossible.
Well, no, I mean, if he could grab
there,
then it would work.
He'd have a higher center of gravity and it would
be able to pull him right over onto his back. And as we all know, a turtle can't get up off its back.
All right, so Leonardo's down and out for the count.
Leonardo's down and out. He does the cross body check with his AK.
Absolutely.
Turtle's dead.
Leonardo is done for.
Wow. Leonardo just got killed by an old fucking man. Especially if it was Hannibal from the movie, from Liam Neeson. I'd be okay with that.
Yeah, that's the best Hannibal, I think, in my mind.
Okay, we'll go with that one. Liam Neeson did it. Qui-Gon Jinn.
Rob Roy.
Rob Roy? That movie sucked. Let's see. Donatello versus Face?
I'm going to give this one to Donatello because Face may be able to... I mean, he's going to come up with and appropriate different weapons.
He's going to have realistic weapons, like grenades and guns and what have you.
But Donatello can manipulate other things and come up with something a little quicker.
Yeah, he's going to pull out their interdimensional portal and send send Face to Dimension X.
Absolutely.
Where he will then be become a member of the Krangs.
We better write all this down. Since we're doing a 8-way tag team match, we need to write down which characters are left for the final face-offs.
Oh, there you go. So right now, yeah, we're down to Raphael, or Donatello, and don't worry about it. We got it.
Donatello.
Michelangelo versus Howlin' Mad Murdock. Now, Howlin' Mad Murdock is the pilot. He can fly, land, and drive anything. It'd be a really fun versus to do is Howlin' Mad Murdock versus Launchpad McQuack. That'd be a fun versus sometime.
Absolutely.
Maybe we'll do that on the next brothel, which I'm recording in a couple hours. Okay.
Michelangelo and Murdock. Well.
Because, I mean, like, Michelangelo's dumb. But, like, Murdock is certifiably crazy.
Yeah, I would probably have to get that one to Murdock. I think that Michelangelo is a little clumsy. And I think that that would ultimately lead to his demise.
Well, and isn't one of the largest parts of martial arts is being able to anticipate your enemy's move?
I mean, that's part of it. You want to be able to defend against any attacks. So.
And an insane person is not going to follow a logical line of attack.
Right, it'd be an atypical sort of attack style.
Yeah, atypical. Good word usage. You're a lawyer. ooh, yeah. I'd even say hand-to-hand combat. Murdock would probably take him. He never used...
Michelangelo would probably be a little too concerned with showing off as he would from time to time anyway and get Splinter would get on his ass for it.
Yeah, and Murdock would probably be, like, dressed up goofy, trying to be, like, in disguise because that was his thing, too.
Yeah, he was the master of disguise.
Yeah, I'll go with Murdock for that one. Murdock killed Michelangelo. And so our last one, Mr. T, B.A. Baracus versus... And the BA, you know, stands for
badass.
Badass, thank you. Versus Raphael.
I hate coming to this because I like Rampage and I like Mr. T, but I think Raphael's got to take this one.
Because I don't think Raphael's going to have any issue with taking that sigh of his and slipping it between Mr. T's ribs and dropping him.
And he had a really tough temper, as BA did as well, so that's why they're paired so well together.
And then on top of it, he just watched his best friend get killed. Leonardo's his man.
Yep, and Raphael, he's... I think that he has the martial arts skills over BA. BA's just brute force.
That is true. BA's brute force. He's not going to be as flexible as a ninja would be. Good sound logic. So, in our final showdown, we have Raphael, Murdock, Hannibal, and Donatello.
All right, well, I'm thinking that Hannibal's probably going to come out and sort of lead the charge in being...
And you know who's going to go after Hannibal is going to be Raphael,
since
Hannibal killed Leo.
Yep, and Hannibal's the tougher of the two, and as is Raphael, I think he's a little tougher than Donatello.
Mm-hmm.
I think that Donatello will put up a good fight against Murdock.
And you talk about the Ninja Turtles video game where Donatello was the best character to have because the bow, he could be far away from the bad guys and hit them.
Yeah, I'm thinking that that would help him put up a good fight. But I'm thinking, again, Murdock's crazy fighting style is going to, I'd hate to say it, carry him a little further, even against Donatello. And I think that...
I would say, again, Murdock would probably win his fight.
But I think that Raphael's going to come up over Hannibal because of the vengeance
the
for
rage.
Leonardo.
Yeah.
And the rage factor. And just the pure... I mean, he was the... In my opinion, Raphael's my favorite character was because he was, in my opinion, a better fighter than the other Ninja Turtles.
So now we've got Raphael versus Howlin' Mad Murdock. The one A-team member I wouldn't figure would survive till the end.
Yeah.
Is the survivor. Who wins in this final bout?
I think it's got to be Raphael. Raphael's the most tactical Ninja Turtle, in my opinion.
And when he goes Rage Berserker, then he's not fighting martial arts style either. He's going to be as...
Murdock style.
He's going to be as atypical as Murdock. Yeah.
And Murdoch's not set up for that. He's not trained for that kind of
and
spider.
And there's nothing for Murdoch to pilot besides the set for the Pigs in Space segment of Muppets. So, yeah, I would have to go ahead and give it to Raphael. Raphael's probably just going to stab him repeatedly in the throat until he dies.
Yep, and, you know, I was thinking about that. It's like, well, what if an A-team member won? Well, would Splinter come in and save the day for the Ninja Turtles? But, no, I'm just glad to see. Okay, so Raphael wins.
Then Raphael suits up, right? Gets all of his brother's weapons, takes their masks as a funeral armband, gets two of the AK-47s, gets bandolier full of grenades off a face, and he goes after the Shredder who hired the A-team.
Oh, yeah.
And it's the final showdown.
To be continued.
Yeah.
We'll carry that on to some other time.
Thank you for a wonderful versus, sir. Mean potatoes this week. The big topic to discuss, something that Jeff and I both love, or loved, it is over now, and has been for about 4 years, is Lost, the television event Lost.
Yeah, it was, I first got hooked on it in 2007.
So 2007, that would have been in season 3?
Yeah, I think I actually got, started after season 3 was wrapped and started watching them from the beginning and watched season 4 whenever it aired live. And so it was funny because...
You used to come over and watch it at our house, didn't you?
I watched it a couple times at your place and wasn't really into it whenever it was like season 2-ish. And my cousin moved from... He was living in Lebanon at the time, moved down to Terre Haute, and we lived in a house together, and he got me hooked on the show, watching the first 3 seasons. And the bummer of it is whenever I watched it with you and Natalie was that I watched it in the middle of a season, just like dropped the needle on a record, and I had no backstory. No, I hadn't seen any of the episodes leading up to it, and we're in the middle of season 2. So my cousin got me hooked on the show, and I did not have cable at my place. I had an antenna, and the antenna would not pick up ABC. So we went across the street, because I lived across the street from my parents at the time, went over across the street to my parents' house every Thursday night and watched Lost when it aired. Yeah, and it's the show that, you know, there was so much deep philosophical lessons to have learned from that show.
Mm-hmm.
And then every week, at the end of the week, you just have this what the fuck moment and just want to pull your hair out every week. And it just drove us nuts. But I watched it. I remember watching the series finale whenever I was in law school. And it was a lot of people hated the series finale. I absolutely loved it. It took me a minute. I wasn't as happy with it the night it aired. But after thinking about it for a couple of days, it really set in. And it was really a beautiful ending to a great show.
People got pissed at the ending of it. But I never did. My story with Lost is before the second season started, I was living with my then girlfriend and my future wife. Not at the same time. But we were all roommates, and my future wife, Natalie, she had watched the first season of Lost.
Future girlfriend and future wife.
Well,
yeah.
Okay, sure.
You were with a different girl at the time. Yeah.
Yeah. She had watched the first season when it was on TV and loved it. And that was back when Blockbuster had where you can mail discs in.
Yeah.
And, you know, like Netflix it. And she decided she was going to get season 1 and rewatch it right before season 2 started. Okay, well, that's cool. So on a whim, she's like, you got to try. Because I was making fun of her. And my mom, too, the year before, was talking about this show called Lost on ABC that, Matthew, there's fucking polar bears in Hawaii. I don't know. You just got to watch the show. It's crazy. Nobody knows what's going on. There's some kind of dinosaur or something that makes a weird howling noise. Just watch the show. I was like, no, I'm not watching. Is there anything my mom is interested in? Is usually like a big red flag that I'm not going to like it.
Right, yeah.
And so... I was like, whatever. Natalie finally talked me into watching the first episode with her. She wanted somebody to watch it with, I think. we put it on, and the season premiere was like a 2 hour special.
Yeah, it was a 2 hour pilot that they had to split. Yep.
Yeah, and it was like watching a movie.
Absolutely, that's the best way to describe this show. Is every week is like watching a full length feature film. Well, an hour long.
Yeah,
but it's the production quality.
That 2 part pilot was like watching a movie.
Yeah,
and
the production quality of everything.
It's one of the most expensive television shows to date.
Absolutely, yeah, I believe it.
They really did their homework on it. So we watched it. It was amazing. We consumed it within like a week. We watched the whole first season. And then it was time for second season. We watched that. Then after graduation, I was no longer with the girlfriend from that house, but I was now dating Natalie. And Natalie went way up north to her folks. And I went back to Indianapolis to my folks. And we lived about 2.5 hours apart. And we would watch Lost on the phone together. And or we would just call right afterwards and discuss it. And it was like, that was our thing. And like, yeah. So that was one of the big bases for our burgeoning relationship, especially as a long distance relationship. That was one of our things. And so Lost just always has a special place in the inner household. Much like Dave Haringa's parents' bed. We'll always have a special place in the inner household.
Yeah, that's nasty.
Yeah. It got nasty.
I remember that weekend, too.
Yeah, you were there.
Yeah, I was there trying to watch Lost with you guys. Not in the bedroom.
No.
No, so, I mean, my cousin did the same thing. He had friends back here in Indy when he lived in Terre Haute, and he would call, like, on commercial breaks, like, okay, all right, I gotta go, and they would discuss on commercial breaks or discuss right after the show. And I've never had a TV show captivate me as much as Lost. Like I said, so many touching philosophical and deep thinking moments from the show. Lots of layers to the show to where I would be on message boards all the time, discussion boards after every show, and just reading different people's points of view on things. And they would strike, oh yeah, this is a biblical reference to this, and this is, ancient Egyptians this. I'm thinking, what the hell? How do people come up with this stuff? And, of course, this is a J.J. Abrams production, and the two main writers, David Lindelof. And, damn it, this is going to kill me.
No,
look it up real quick.
I just had it on here, damn it. Damon Lindelof and Q's, no?
That's not on there. Well, anyway, so, oh, give me a fucking break.
What the fuck, Wikipedia? Why are you failing me?
Alright, so anyway, Damon Lindelof, and whoever the other guy was.
Carlton Cuse.
Alright.
They were both the showrunners.
Yeah.
And head writers.
Alright, so, these guys just, they renounced a lot of the stuff whenever people say, oh yeah, this is what this means. They'd say, well, that's not what we had in mind, but I could see why you would come to that conclusion. You want to talk about not only from a production value, but how many different people had to be around for continuity's sake. Reason being is there's so many overlapping backstories, and you get a lot of flashbacks on the show that you really have to keep an eye out. And there are a few continuity errors that I found. So whenever they were trying to go back to the island, and Jack was sitting in the plane and looked over at Ben Linus, he was reading, and Jack goes, "How could you read?" And Ben's response is, "Well, my mother taught me." Very dry, sarcastic, but we know that Ben's mother died during childbirth.
Mm-hmm.
So how did she teach
him to
read?
But we knew that after. Oh, that's funny.
No, I think we knew it before.
Oh, do we?
Yeah. There's not many continuity errors in the show. I have wanted to, and Chad has been talking about doing this with Kristen, is watching the show from the beginning, sort of like Battlestar Brothel.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to watch it with them because I need to go back and watch the show. I've been dying to for a little over a year just sit down and start watching the show again.
Dude, I will rewatch the shit with you.
All right, we'll have to.
Wait till Battlestar Brothel's done.
All right, we'll do that. Friend of Follow Networks, Diana Wargle, also just started watching the show again not too long ago on Netflix. And she pissed me off because whenever I was in first year law school, the series finale happened, and she watched that, had never watched a single minute of the show.
Oh, my God. Diana, no.
Why would you do that? Why would you screw yourself like that? So she did it, and now she's going back and watching the show and texting me every once in a while for, what's this mean? What's going on with this? And it's been fun to have other friends get turned on to the show now that never watched it before.
Get turned on to the show. Characters. Mm-hmm. We have a rich tapestry of characters. Yeah. I want to say, too, one of the fellows that almost got the part of Hurley is a fellow named Rob Larkin Busboom. He's local comedian here and a cousin of a friend of mine. Really funny guy. You should look up his work. That's Rob Larkin Busboom. You'll come across him on the satellite radio channels every now and then, but you can find some of his works online. Pretty funny guy. Shout out.
Yeah. This is going to bother me now. I'm terrible with names. Everyone knows by now. Everyone on the podcast knows I'm terrible with names. The guy that played Ben Linus actually was a finalist for Hurley and almost got it. And you can see his audition tape.
A lot of the guys, almost nobody on the show.
Michael Emerson.
Michael Emerson. Almost nobody got the part that they auditioned for.
Yeah.
Like Sawyer, whoever plays Sawyer, he went for Jack. The guy Jack went for Locke. Locke was Hurley. Like, everybody tried every different part.
Yeah, it's interesting because Michael Emerson was a stand-up comedian. And so after this show, he said that there were a lot of moments where, like, whenever he was being held in the Orchid, and they were holding him in that little containment cell, mm-hmm. and they offered him rabbit, and he looked at Locke and goes, "There wasn't a number on this rabbit, was there?" He said in his mind just then he realized that he was on a comedy, but no one else knew it. And he was just so dry and sarcastic with everything. But afterwards, he would go on like Leno and Letterman and stuff and say, "Yeah, I'm never going to be able to get another comedy job after this show."
Yeah.
Because he was so serious as Ben Linus.
Well, what's he on now? What's the show? Numbers?
Person of Interest.
Person of Interest. That's right.
Numbers was a great show that was canceled a few years back that I loved. But yeah, he's on Person of Interest, which I have not been able to catch that show with any regularity, but I want to start watching that again. But
Michael Emerson also was, okay, when it comes to animation of the Batman universe, mm-hmm. the Joker is played by Mark Hamill.
Yeah.
Like, when I read the Batman comics, I hear Mark Hamill's Joker voice in my head.
Okay.
Having said that, in the Dark Knight Returns DVDs, part 1 and 2, Michael Emerson plays the Joker. And he plays an older Joker. So you can get by without having Mark Hamill do the voice. Because it's a Joker that's like 55, 60 years old.
Huh.
And it's chilling.
Yeah, I'd
have
to see this.
It is fucking scary. You want to borrow the Blu-rays? You can take them
home. Yeah, I'll have to. I believe it because Michael Emerson's just, he's, for being a comedian, he's got that sort of delivery and that tone of voice that he can be super serious, and it's just creepy. It certainly is.
Oh my God. So yeah, I love that character. So characters in the show, who do you love, who do you hate, who did you hate to see to go, who did you want more of?
Well, I mean, I always identified really closely with Jack, the guy that constantly tries to do the right thing but always gets kind of screwed over and makes some poor decisions. Charlie Pace.
Oh, you know what? I'm starting to pick up some similarities between you and Mr. Jack.
Yeah. Charlie Pace, you know, he had a heart of gold. He had his demons and everything. Bass player for Drive Shaft. You own everybody. You own everybody. And, you know, James Ford, Sawyer, I liked his character because you just love to hate him.
Yeah, he was really the anti-hero.
Yep, Saeed Al-Jarrah, he was, you know, of course, the communications expert for the Iraqi National Guard, but you find out that he was a torture specialist. Mm-hmm. And, but was, seeing his love story unfold.
That was tragic, wasn't it?
Yeah, and it was really something to see it. You know, that's the nice part about this show is that you get to see their backstories and really learn the character depth and all of the heartbreaking stories that they've had because, you know, even Sawyer, you hated Sawyer until you found out exactly what happened to him his whole life.
Yeah.
And then
Kate
Austin.
Evangeline Lilly.
Evangeline Lilly.
She makes a great
love
elf.
Her.
She's in The Desolation of Smog.
Yeah, I've seen her on the previews, and I don't know how that's gonna.
It's all right.
I may be into Elvish porn after that.
You know what's funny is she dated Dominic Moynihan.
Yeah.
For a long time, and he was, you know,
Charlie Pace.
Well, he was Charlie Pace, but he was also Mary Adduck.
Yeah.
One of the Hobbits.
Yeah.
So you got a little Hobbit elf crossover lovins.
Yeah, so John Locke, of course, was stuck in a wheelchair until, you know, they crashed on the island, and then he could finally move his legs and start walking again. I will say that one of the characters that I wanted to see more of that they started to develop was Arst, Les Arst. He was the one that was the science teacher from high school.
Yeah, they blew him up.
They went to the Black Rock and grabbed dynamite, and it ended up blowing up, and they had little bits of Arst all over him. But I really started to like him. He only came out for about two episodes or three episodes where they developed his character a little bit. No backstory, of course.
Well, they did that a lot in the series. That was how they would try to bring in new talent to replace characters that had died.
Yeah.
And if they worked, they stayed. Like Michelle Rodriguez stayed for a while until she got her DUI in Hawaii, and then they had to kill her character off. or they, they would try him. If it didn't work, if it just didn't mesh with the rest of the cast, or if the part just wasn't needed, they would just kill him off immediately.
Yeah. One of my favorite characters was Hurley, Ugo. And as his mom would say, Ugo. So his dad was Cheech Marin, mm-hmm. which was hilarious. And Hugo, so the numbers on Lost, 4, 8, 15, 16, 23, 42. Come up a lot.
Wow, that came out so fast.
Yep. If you add those together, it's 108, which is the number of minutes that was on the clock in the orchid.
Oh, wow.
108 minutes, 4, 8, 15, 16, 23, 42, added together.
No shit.
Yeah. And that's the code that they had to type in, 4, 8, 15, 16, 23, 42, to reset the clock. But Hurley was one of my favorites. There's a scene in season 5 where Ben and Jack try to go and get everyone back to go back to the island. And Hurley's making a hot pocket, and he takes out of the oven, and it's microwave, and it's nice and hot, and Ben Linus is in the doorway of the kitchen, goes, "Hello, Hurley," and just real creepy. He's wearing all black, and Hurley turns around and goes, "Ah!"
And throws the hot pocket at him.
And it hits the wall right next to him and just splatters down the wall.
That's beautiful.
Desmond Hume.
I call everybody brother now.
Yep. Desmond and Penny, those were the moments on Lost where I cried. Whenever they were on the radio, whenever they were finally reunited, Desmond and Penny was the ultimate love story for that show for me. Charles Widmore, of course, Penny's father, tried to everything he could to completely fuck Desmond, including sending him on that boat race indirectly that led to Desmond being deserted on the island.
Do you ever notice, like, there's so many weird things, but like, okay, so the guy that was originally in the hatch before Desmond,
yeah,
the actor's name is Clancy Brown. I don't know if his character had a name. You see him in everything, and you know his voice. He's the voice of Lex Luthor in the DC animated universe. He was there, but then he also showed up. He was a part of the American soldiers that captured Saeed,
yeah,
and released him. Like, the way that they would tie shit like that in.
Yeah, there's so much overlap. You know, Pierre Chang, Dr. Edgar Halowax, he had different names in these Lost tutorial films.
Mm-hmm.
But he ended up being one of the characters' fathers.
Yeah, Miles. He was Miles' father. Yeah.
And, you know, they go back in time. Season 5 freaked out a lot of people because the island was stuck and so the island, basically, where they are, travels both in time and place.
It's pan-dimensional.
Yeah. And so a lot of people didn't understand that. You know, there was a moment at the end of season 3 or 4, I think it was 4, where Ben moves the island to protect it so it wasn't discovered by Charles Widmore's ship. He had a ship that was off the coast there. And that sent it into sort of a time warp where it was kept skipping, like they said, a record on a record player, and would constantly flux in and out of time. And there'd be flashes and a little bit of rain, and it would be in a different time. But it was an interesting concept to have an island that could, you know, okay, time travel, but also an island that moved in place so you could never really find it.
Yeah.
It was just bizarre.
Very interesting concept. The Man in Black. I was going to say Titus Welliver.
Yeah, let's talk about The Man in Black and Jacob.
I want to talk about The Man in Black first, okay, because of the actor Titus Welliver. He was in Deadwood, played a guy named Silas. He worked for Elsewhere Engine. Then there was then Lost, and now he's also in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And he's been in a couple of the little S.H.I.E.L.D. or the little Marvel one-shots that come out on the Blu-rays. I think
he's also on a show, maybe it's called Criminal Minds, or maybe there's another show like that. There's another show like that that he's been on ABC or CBS.
Okay.
But not Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. But yeah, he has been on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
I just gotta say, that guy is batting 1,000 for me. He's on the best fucking TV shows ever.
Yeah, I had seen him on something other than Deadwood, and then he was on Lost, and whenever they said that he was going to be the Man in Black, I freaked out. And then, of course, whenever...
Jacob?
Yeah, I'm trying to think of Michael Quinto, is that his
name? No, Mark Pellegrino.
Mark Pellegrino. Yeah, Mark Pellegrino was cast as Jacob. He was on Dexter. He played Rita's husband, ex-husband, that was abusive. I remember seeing him on that show. And I think, okay, well, this ought to be interesting to see him as Jacob, because for years we saw Jacob. Ben said he spoke to Jacob. Jacob is sort of the...
omnibenevolent spirit of the island.
Yeah, the guiding light of the island. We can call him the guiding light of the island. And so it was interesting, all this pent-up storyline and mystique about Jacob, to see finally put a face with the name. And then, of course, the final season, we kind of see more of Jacob and the Man in Black's battles. As it turns out, their brother, a lot of people said Cain and Abel, dark and light, and that is just sort of a recurring theme.
Marvel and DC.
Yeah, that's a recurring theme over the entire show, is dark and light. And so it's interesting. The storyline between those two in season 6 really is what did it, and opened up just to understand what the island was about. There's been so much mystique about the island. Finally in season 6, you know, we get a few little gems here and there, but season 6, you really get the payoff of how it all came to be, particularly Dharma Initiative, you know, the Widmores setting up shop there, all that stuff kind of. And, you know, a lot of people were pissed off about there being questions unanswered with the series finale and the way the show wrapped. I thought it did a lot to answer a lot of the big questions.
But it didn't answer them all, and that's fine. But if you gotta have it all spelled out for you, then you're just a moron.
Yeah, you can draw your own inferences, and that's what I liked about it. But the big stuff, the big questions, was, in my opinion, all tied up really nicely. I thought the ending was absolutely beautiful. So, spoilers, show's been off the air for a couple years now, so give me a break. But so basically how it ends is, a lot of people thought that they were just dead the whole time. They died in that first plane crash. As it turns out, after the closing credits, they pan back, and there's a scene where you can see all of the shelters that they set up on the beach there, on the island. Mm-hmm. So you realize that, no, they did not die in that first plane crash, and they weren't stuck in purgatory. They all died at some point, and once they all died, they had to come back and get back together and remember their passageway, and they came back to this church and walked into the afterlife together. And to me, that was just such a beautiful ending, an emotional one as well. Partially because it's my favorite show coming to an end, but also just the emotions of being so attached to the characters. As I said, this show drew me into it more than any show I've ever seen before, on so many different levels, emotionally, psychologically, just making me think about things with new direction and new points of view. And I know a lot of people that feel the same way.
Mm-hmm.
So that begs the question, Lost.
Yeah, Lost got me off of smack. I'm just kidding.
Okay, yeah. So, Lost.
I'm still on smack.
Matt, let me ask you, Lost, best TV show ever or greatest TV show ever?
Oh. Neither.
Oh, give me a break. Mm-mm. I think it's the greatest TV show that there ever was.
No.
Well, okay, so what do you like better?
What do I like better than Lost? I like better than Lost Game of Thrones. I like any programming on HBO, pretty much. Sopranos, okay. True Blood. Oz, Deadwood, they're all great shows. Now, Lost, I would put better than Justified, which I watch now. Better than The Americans. Probably better than S.H.I.E.L.D.
let's scroll down here on this on our fact sheet here, because we have some information on. I just want to see what the budgets were like for an episode of a given episode of Lost.
I don't know that
we have ratings here.
Information is on here. No.
Okay. Yeah, doesn't look like it, but. You know, a lot of shows now boast their big budgets, and this is back a few years back and a few years ago, and they didn't really talk about that a lot, about TV show budgets as much. It wasn't a bragging point as it is now. So speaking of Lost geekdom, I do have the box set, which came out, you know, at the conclusion of the series, that I ordered online, pre-ordered. It's pretty sweet. It's got all the discs. Got a little booklet on backstories, and, you know, the descriptions of each episode. And it's got, in season 6, we see the Man in Black and Jacob playing this board game. And it has the board and all the pieces, but I don't know how to play it.
Doesn't have instructions?
Yeah, because it's just a piece of card, heavy-ass cardboard, and then some rocks and sticks.
You know what, the instructions are probably written on the hieroglyphs on the outside of the box.
Oh, thanks, wise ass.
Yeah.
And, yeah, there's a black light light pin, so you can shine it over this stuff, and there's, like, hidden stuff in black light ink on the stuff, or on the booklets and things in here. And it's a nice little, like, looks like a little tomb.
It looks like the platform that the statue of Horus stood on.
Yeah.
In the show, or the lighthouse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's a pretty cool box set, you know, and I'm... It sits on display at my house very proudly, along with my Avengers box set. I've got the briefcase with the Tesseract in it and everything. It sits on display right there with it, my James Bond box set. I don't own too many box sets, but these are...
All I own box set-wise is, like, Jackass, the series.
Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, the Ninja Turtles box set.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Wow. Lost is an amazing show. It brought me and my wife closer together in our budding relationship, so I owe it for that.
Brought my cousin and I closer together. I mean, we weren't all that close up until then. So it's definitely a show you can bond with someone over.
Yeah. If you watch it alone, it's a great show. Watch it with a friend that's never seen it either, if you haven't watched it.
I mean, here's my question, though, as far as best or greatest TV show ever is, I don't know anyone that bonds over Oz, like with this show. I don't know any other show that has the philosophical...
Me and Natalie did.
...depth, really? I don't know another show that has the philosophical depth that Lost does, and that's part of the reason why I feel like that it can stir you on many levels and move you, and that's what sort of makes it something special.
I mean, it's special, but it's not the most special to me.
All right.
I gotta say.
That's fair. I mean, you're wrong, but that's okay.
You dick. And Dustin's not here any longer, so we don't have a stupid joke at the end, which is fine by me. So, Jeff, thank you for coming on the show today.
I'm honored to be on the show once again and to be the first co-host since Dustin's left.
And go ahead and plug your shit. What are you on? What do you do?
I'm on The Zomologist, which is a weekly podcast on beer, wine, and spirits. I talk a lot about, you know, different factual things, scientific stuff. And sometimes just sit around and enjoy. And it's usually a pretty short podcast. This past week I was busy with things, so it was only like an 8-minute podcast. But usually I try to go about 20-something, 30 minutes. And, you know, it's...
And unlike a lot of our Follow Network shows, what I love about yours and Natalie's shows are they're very factual.
Yeah.
Like, the rest of them are like, let's just talk about shit. And yours are like, I'm learning something.
Yeah, I want it to be fun. I want it to be educational as well. And if you have any questions about the stuff, tweet at The Zomologist, Zymologist, or at Jeff Gorham, Jeffgorham. I will answer those questions on the air whenever I record the podcast. I think that the next episode I have, let's see, is this going to air before my next episode?
This will come out Tuesday.
Tuesday? Okay, so Thursday is episode 21 of The Zomologist. I plan on covering, talking about Prohibition, because 21st Amendment was what repealed Prohibition. So I plan on talking about that. I also do tons of, I try to do lots of reviews of different whiskeys, you know, beer, wine, things like that. So, and try to discuss the different stylistic characteristics. So, please, I'd love to have you listen. And if you found me by way of this podcast, tweet at me and let me know.
So, and me here, Matt, you can always find me at Instant Film Review, Mad Chat, or here at the Rancor's Brothel, Battlestar Brothel, Rancor's Agents of Brothel, every single week, because I have nothing else better to do. And you can find all this stuff at www.followthe.tv. Check us out on YouTube, youtube.com/followNetworks, especially for your talking heads. We love to get on there and talk about the shows we're watching. So every week we watch Justified, immediate reaction. It's right there. We'll put it right up for you. So check it out. And we will see you next week at the brothel.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.